Good morning, everyone. We're going to be looking at the story found in 1 Samuel chapter 3. Does this hat belong to anybody? It's been kind of living up here this morning. 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. And after the message today, we're going to have some time for Q&A. We'll have a little bit of reflection time immediately after, and then some time for discussion. So if, as we're going along, something strikes you, or a question comes up, please take note of it. And I also want to draw your attention to the prayer corner, which is here every week, but it's just such a good opportunity to be prayed for. It's one of the gifts of gathering together like this on a Sunday morning is that we get to lift each other up in prayer. So do take advantage of that. Electricity, Werner is learning, can be static by itself. But couple it with magnetism, and suddenly you have movement, waves, fields and circuits, conduction and induction, space, time, mass. The air swarms with so much that is invisible. How he wishes he had eyes to see the ultraviolet, eyes to see the infrared, eyes to see radio waves crowding the darkening sky, flashing through the walls of the house. So reads the account of Werner, a German orphan, and the main character of Anthony Doerr's book, All the Light We Cannot See, which was a bestseller a few years ago. Have you ever thought about that? The fact that the air is full, well, we go back one. Oh! Our clicker is being sensitive this morning. Have you ever thought about the fact that the air is full of invisible waves of energy carrying messages, thoughts, ideas, music, art, science through the atmosphere, and we cannot see it? We can press our finger to this small device and in an instant have more information than 1,000 libraries could hold. And how is that information carried? It's carried on these invisible signals. At a touch, we can have the voice and the face of someone we love who lives far away, maybe even on the other side of the world, wondrously and amazingly before us in real time, carried by these invisible signals that actually sometimes reach beyond our Earth's atmosphere into the very realm of stars themselves. What an amazing world we live in. What an incredible world. A world that is brimming with light waves we can't see, but we have come to rely on with almost all of our being. This picture right here is one artist / scientist's imagination of if we could see Wi-Fi, what it would look like, what the waves would look like. Today's scripture is about a light that we cannot always see, but that is present, just as present, if not more present, than the waves that carry information around our globe. And it's not about this light suddenly appearing out of nowhere and suddenly becoming present where it wasn't present before. It's about light that was always present around us, like these waves, being made visible to us. It's about an ever-present God who doesn't just show up, but who is constant, who is a constant reality around us, whether we can see him or not. A God who is bending over backwards to make himself visible to us. Just like we heard in Rob's story, a God who is always around us, even in stairwells at work, but sometimes needs to just grab our attention, surprise us, tap us on the shoulder. This is a story similar to that. Our story today in 1 Samuel reads like a fairy tale. It's one of my favorites. This is one of my favorites. I'm a Bible nerd, but I do love this one. And I love that it's so rich in imagery. It's rich in symbol. And this morning, my message will also have lots of imagery and symbol. And so as you listen, maybe just listen for the one that sticks out to you this morning. What's the one that kind of grabs your heart or your imagination? Maybe that's the one that God has for you this morning to take home and to the rest of your week. So here's how our story goes. It happens long, long ago in a kingdom far, far away. A kingdom that was living under both a curse and a promise. The promise was that the light of God, represented by the lamp burning in the tabernacle, the lamp of God, would forever bring blessing to the world through this nation. This was to be a kingdom of light, not just so that they could bask in the light, but so that they could shine the light to the entire world. But the curse had come about when the great high priest of this kingdom began to overindulge his sons instead of tending to this lamp of God. And as the priest's sons grew older and more wicked, the priest turned a blind eye to their evil deeds, and a darkness began to fall over the land. Now, one day, a holy man came to the ruler, to visit this ruler. And he said, "You have brought a curse upon yourself and your household. Because you have turned a blind eye for so long to your son's wicked behavior, your own eyes will grow dim, and you won't be able to see. Darkness, weakness, and death will hang over your family. But a new priest will rise up, one who knows the heart and mind of God himself. And this new priest will bring light back into the land that you have cursed with darkness." So years go by, and no such priest arrives. And the sons grow more evil, and the priest Eli grows more weak and blind, and the land grows darker. But the lamp of God had not yet gone out. During that time, a young boy was brought to the priest, to the temple where the priest served, to be raised as a servant in the temple. His name was Samuel, and today we're going to read his story. This is his story, straight out of NIV. One night, Eli, the priest, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out. And Samuel was lying down in the house of the Lord where the ark of God was. And then the Lord called Samuel, and Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." But Eli said, "I did not call you. Go back and lie down." So he went and he lay down. And again the Lord called, "Samuel." And Samuel got up and he went to Eli and he said, "Here I am. You called me." "My son," Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, because the word of God had not yet been revealed to him. A third time, the Lord called, "Samuel." And Samuel got up, and he went to Eli, and he said, "Here I am. You called me." Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down. And if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and he lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there, calling just as at the other times, "Samuel, Samuel." And then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." And the story goes on. God spoke to Samuel, and Samuel heard the words and the message of the Lord. And the next morning he woke up trembling with the message of God in his ears, because God didn't go easy on him. He didn't give him just a nice, basic, hey, just introducing myself. Gave him a hard message, a message that would change everything politically in that kingdom. A message that Samuel, a boy, probably about 12, could keep to himself or could speak out boldly to his leader. And Samuel walked through the halls of the temple that morning, and the first thing he did, right before he went in courageous obedience to give this message to Eli, the great priest of the land, right before he did that, the story tells us that he opened the doors of the house of the Lord. And in that small routine action, the author of the story invites us to pause and imagine the light from the lamp of God that had not gone out yet, despite the darkness in the land, pouring out the door and lighting up the dark land, ushering in a new day. A new day had begun. For all along, the lamp of God had not gone out. It's a good story, isn't it? Kind of makes you want to see, wait, what's going to come next? And I love the books of 1 and 2 Samuel. It starts off with this vivid story, and it continues to show how God lights up this land that's become dark. But of course, we believe it's more than just a story. It's not just a fairy tale. It is something that is true about the world that we live in and the God that we serve. It tells us something about who God is and about his light. And we believe that it means, no matter how dark it gets, whether we can see it or not, God's light is present, and he longs to make himself visible to us. But does he? Did any of you hear Oprah's Golden Globe speech this week? I see a few nods. If you did, and it was a powerful speech, I heard a clip on the news, and then I went and listened to it on YouTube. You would have heard her tell a story about a woman named Reese Taylor. In 1944, this young wife and mother was brutally attacked by a group of white men one Sunday afternoon on her way home from church. And despite being told by these men that they would kill her if she told anyone, she brought her case forward. And the men, of course, 1944, were never persecuted. And like so many of the stories that we have been reading over the last few months with the hashtag MeToo, it was buried, a story that just became buried in the dark. And she died, Reese Taylor died about 3 weeks ago. And we might ask, where was the presence and light of God in her story? Had this lamp of God that we believe is true, had that actually gone out for her? The young women living in Samuel's day may have asked the same question, because Eli's wicked sons were known for sleeping with the women who served in the temple, and I doubt that there was a lot of consent in those interactions. These women should have been protected and safe in the temple and in that holy place, and instead of light, there was only darkness for them. And from their vantage point, I can imagine it looked as though the lamp of God, this light of his presence, even in his temple, had been utterly extinguished. In this season, we celebrate that God has been made known to us, visible to us. He is light that has come into darkness, but it can be a frustrating season too. Because in so many areas, it seems that God has not come. It seems that the lamp of God has come out. We've looked for it, we've asked for it, we've waited for it. And instead, we have not seen it. Why hasn't God answered our prayer? Why hasn't God given me a sign that it's going to be okay, that I will be okay in this? And maybe it's not even that dramatic. Maybe you see God at work, but there's still that one area in your life that feels dark, or it just feels impossible for the light of God to turn that around. If that's you this morning, if you have felt that frustration through Christmas, even into this season, you're not left out of this story. In fact, you're actually smack dab in the middle of this story, because no one could see that lamp of God burning in the story. Eli was blind. He was getting growing blinder and blinder because of his own foolish choices. The women and the men of Israel lived in darkness because of the incompetence and the sin of their leader. And even young Samuel, who was innocent and obedient and loved and sleeping right next to the lamp of God, had never been taught about God's presence. No one could see that light burning. Invisible light waves surrounding us. Invisible God. But the lamp of God had not gone out. When Recy Taylor reported her story, her case was assigned to a young woman named Rosa Parks, a woman who would absorb that story and one day, almost like striking a match, she would make a small choice that would spark a movement and light up a great area of darkness. The lamp of God had not gone out, even in the story of Recy Taylor. Recy would never receive formal justice for what she suffered, but in the last months of her life, she would see, which were the last months that we just lived through, she would see many powerful men who had secrets that were hidden in the dark, men who were thought to be untouchable, topple from their positions of power, because women around the world began to speak up and bring their stories into the light. The lamp of God has not gone out in our day either, even in some of the areas that we have thought to be untouchable. One night, as a young boy slept in the temple of God that had become a place of violence and abuse and corruption, he heard a voice, because the lamp of God had not gone out. Samuel did not know that the voice was God's voice because no one had taught him who God was, which is kind of funny because he grew up in the temple, but sometimes that happens even if we grow up in a temple or in the church. And yet, verse 10 tells us that God spoke to him three times, and not only that God was speaking to Samuel, but that he was standing next to him. All along beside him in the dark, God's presence, he was standing there, which means that he had been standing there in the darkness with the women who had been abused in that place, which means he had been standing there in the darkness with the blind and shamed priest, which means he had been standing there in the darkness all along with the young boy who didn't even know to look for him, because the lamp of God had not gone out. The invisible God made himself visible. The message God spoke to Samuel that night was a stern message against injustice, the injustice that had been happening, and the darkness that had settled over the land. And it was a message that justice was going to come swiftly, and that light was coming back into the world. And it wasn't just a message for Samuel. It was a message for the people of God, for the men and the women and the girls and the boys of that land. And it was a message for the leaders of that land who had abused their power and had caused people to suffer because of it. And it wasn't Samuel's job to create or conjure up this light and shine it into the land. And it wasn't his job to find the light and then kind of like bring it out. It was Samuel's job to open the temple doors where the light lived and let that light shine out that morning of God that had been present all along, so that it could flood out those temple doors, pour down the steps, and be made visible to God's people. Because the light of God is meant to be seen. The invisible God is making himself visible to us. Henry Nouwen, who is a Catholic priest and writer on the spiritual life, he reflected on this painting of the prodigal son, this one here, he wrote the following. For most of my life, I have struggled to find God, to know God, to love God. I have tried hard to follow the guidelines of the spiritual life, pray always, work for others, read the scriptures, and to avoid the many temptations to dissipate myself. and I have failed many times, but always tried again, even when I was close to despair. Now I wonder whether I have sufficiently realized that during all this time, God has been trying to find me, to know me, and to love me. The question is not, how am I to find God, but how am I to let myself be found by him? The question is not, how am I to know God, but how am I to let myself be known by God? And finally, the question is not, how am I to love God, but how am I to let myself be loved by God? God is looking into the distance for me, trying to find me, and longing to bring me home. Hundreds of years after God appeared to Samuel in the temple and called out his name, a star would light up a dark night, pointing the way to a stable where a baby, who would grow to be a man, lay in a pile of hay. The invisible God made visible for us, for all of us. 2,000 years later, the invisible light waves of God's presence are still moving through this atmosphere. His feet are still standing like they were, though Samuel couldn't see it, beside us. And it's happening in our kitchen as we wash the dishes, happens in our offices, at our desks, in stairwells, in boardrooms, in our schools and our classrooms, in the car, right now, God's presence is around us. And I feel like Werner, who's the orphan that I quoted in that book right at the beginning, who wished he had eyes to see the ultraviolet, eyes to see the infrared, eyes to see the radio waves crowding the darkening sky and flashing through the walls of houses. Don't you? I wish I could see that. Friends, much of our faith is lived in darkness. Much of it is. But at the heart of it is this belief that the lamp of God has not gone out. That the light and presence of God really truly is here, somehow amongst us. And that it has, in fact, been made visible to us through the person of Christ. Our job in this world is not to conjure up this light, and it's not even to go out looking for it. Our job is to somehow courageously open up the doors to that place where the light lives, which happens to be us, our hearts, so that the light can be made visible in this world. And sometimes, like in the case of Reese and the other women who have shared their stories with this hashtag MeToo, sometimes that means opening up the doors to a very vulnerable place, a very dark place, where it's hard to see the light of God shining at all. And that's an action that takes courage and it takes community. It takes a good community. I follow this artist on Instagram named Scott Erickson. And he recently shared that his young son, this was just last week, they'd learned had been diagnosed with a degenerative eye disease. And his son, I think he's like 7, and one day could become blind. And he writes, I don't know, this is his picture, by the way, one of his works of art. He says, I don't know why we suffer, or even if that's the right question to ask, but I do know this, there is a strange byproduct of suffering, which is the gathering of human souls around those who are hurting. God is present there. And maybe, may we never lose sight of the light that shines brightest when we gather to care for and love each other. And I think this is true. I think many of us have experienced this photo where maybe our own light is snuffed. It feels we cannot see the lamp of God burning. And others gather around us, and somehow that makes the light of God actually grow brighter. We don't always have to see the light to make it visible. It's an incredible thing about belonging to a community of faith, and it's an incredible thing about the light of God that is present, whether we can see it or not. Maybe the most faithful thing that you can do, if you find yourself in a place of darkness, is to call a counselor or a spiritual director so that you can begin to open up those doors to the place where God is standing and calling out your name, just like Samuel opened the doors to the temple so the light of God could come out. And I guarantee you that if you do that, that will become the place from which others begin to see the light of God come alive and become real in this world. And maybe you can see the light of God right now. Maybe you're in a place where you can carry that gift with humility and also with courage. And instead of trying to make others see this light, because I think sometimes we want to do that, we want to shove it in their darkness and say, there is light. Instead of doing that, carry it with you quietly and watch it do its work, because it will, because it's more powerful than us. And watch it do its work through you from a place of strength and wisdom that isn't your own, that's bigger than you. We're going to invite the worship team up again, because we're going to move into a time of reflection through this next song. But after that, we're going to do some reflecting out loud together. So if there's something that has struck you this morning, and maybe it's one of the symbols that you've seen in the art this morning, or that I've mentioned, or even in the story itself, feel free to share it with us. How has it struck you this morning? If you have a question, and you just would like me to clarify something, feel free to bring that up as well. And if you don't have anything, and maybe you just need to sit with this in silence, that is okay too. Silence is welcome as well. So before this song, I want to leave you with the prophetic words of Isaiah 60, which was written to Israel long, long time ago. But these words are also for us, because through Christ we have been invited into the people of God, and the invisible God has been made visible to us. The words of Isaiah 60, arise and shine, for your light has come. And the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth. A thick darkness is over the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look about you. All assemble and come to you. Your sons come from afar. Your daughters are carried on the hip. And then you will look and be radiant, and your heart will throb and swell with joy. The sun will no more be your light by day, nor will the brightness of the moon shine on you, for the Lord will be your everlasting light, and your God will be your glory.
Let's sing that again.
He knows.
Let's sing that without any music.
He knows my name. He knows my every thought. He sees each tear that falls and hears me when I call.
Good God, holy God, God who is with us, Emmanuel, we ask you to make yourself visible to us. And Lord, we ask you to make us into that kind of community that shines your light, even when some of us can't see it. And Lord, I pray that that this week, as we go into the rest of today and Monday, Lord, that you would give us a sensitivity, that you would help us, because we're not always good at this listening and inviting and paying attention part. Lord, we invite your help to help us hear your voice. We invite your little taps on the shoulder, like Rob shared with us this morning, that surprise us and might even cause us to turn around in our seat and say, what? God, we invite that this morning. We invite that whisper as well that's quiet. We invite that to come into our lives, and we pray that you would help us this week to find that and to hear that. Lord, let your light come into our darkness, and let your light up Oakville, light up our homes, light up our workplaces. We invite you, and we invite your voice this morning. In your name, amen.